Hello, everyone. Dan Dillman here, bringing you a little of this, a little of that. And we're going to lead off today with a report on climate change that was issued by the United Nations yesterday. It's in most newspapers across the country, actually on the front page. So we need to know what was in it, and I'm going to try to summarize that for you today in the first part of the program. Because in the UN report, it spells out the dire consequences of climate change, and there is a very a statement which is something we do not want to hear, and that is that the changes that have occurred by now are not reversible. Rising temperatures, for one thing. If the Earth heats up by 2 degrees Celsius, that's 3.6 degrees Fahrenheit, much warmer in different parts of the planet. Land areas warm more than the oceans. In the northern hemisphere, the Arctic and Antarctica, warming more than the tropics. And so what I'll try to do now is to summarize what is a very long report. Hundreds of top scientists released a devastating report Monday on the danger that human-caused climate change poses to the world, calling it Code Red for Humanity. The landmark report was released in Geneva by the United Nations Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. Many of the changes seen in the world's climate are unprecedented in thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of years. And some of the changes already set in motion, such as a rise in sea levels, are irreversible over hundreds to thousands of years, according to the report. Wild weather events, such as storms and heat waves, are expected to worsen and become more frequent. Climate change is already affecting every region on Earth and in multiple ways. The changes we experience will increase with additional warming. The evidence is clear that carbon dioxide is the main driver of climate change, even as other greenhouse gases and air pollutants play a role, according to this report. It's a 3,000-page document, and it provides an unprecedented degree of clarity about the future of our planet and the need to reduce and ultimately eliminate our emissions of greenhouse gases. The report, which calls climate change clearly human-caused and unequivocally makes more precise and warmer forecasts for the 21st century than it did the last time it was issued in 2013. If this report doesn't shock you into action, it should. The report paints a very sobering picture of the unforgiving, unimaginable world we have in store if our addiction to burning fossil fuels and destroying forests continues. One of the most striking takeaways is that we may reach 1.5 degrees centigrade of warming a decade earlier than the earlier committee had found. Almost 200 countries have signed up to the Paris Climate Accord, which aims to keep global warming below 2 degrees Celsius. That's 3.6 degrees Fahrenheit. Ideally, no more than 1.5 degrees centigrade by the end of the century compared to pre-industrial times. The report projects that in the coming decades, climate changes will increase in all regions. For 1.5 degrees Celsius of global warming, there will be increasing heat waves, longer warm seasons, and shorter cold seasons. And at 2 degrees centigrade of global warming, heat extremes would more often reach critical tolerance thresholds for agriculture and for health, according to the report. Scientists have predicted the likelihood of accelerating climate change for more than a century now. Yet too often, their warnings have been disregarded. The hope is that the rigor, transparency, and unprecedented urgency of this latest report will make it simply impossible to ignore. Though many of the report's predictions paint a grim picture of humans' impact on the planet and the consequences that will occur going forward, this report finds the so-called tipping points, such as catastrophic ice sheet collapses, are of low likelihood, though they cannot be ruled out. So here, then, is a list, a grim global report, which tells us about the changes that are occurring and have occurred. Number one, warming, 1.5 degrees centigrade. In 5 scenarios, global warming of at least 1.5 degrees is the best estimate from 2021 to 2040. Previous predictions did forecast this level of warming not as soon. Next, west of the Mississippi River, increase in droughts and fires, more extreme precipitation and flooding, extreme weather, heat extremes typically once every 10 years without human-caused change are likely to occur more than 4 times if temperatures increase by 1.5 degrees centigrade. Each incremental increase in temperature leads to lower levels Arctic sea ice, snow cover, and permafrost. Under all 5 scenarios considered in the report, the Arctic is likely to see at least 1 September month that is practically free of sea ice before 2050. Irreversible is a word to keep in mind. In several areas, greenhouse gas emissions have caused irreversible damage, and the effects will be felt for centuries to millennia. Ocean temperature changes and acidification, glacier melt, and sea rise are expected to continue over the next hundreds of years, regardless of human intervention. Over the next 2,000 years, even if temperatures are kept to a 1.5 degree centigrade increase, the average global sea level is expected to rise 2 to 3 meters. There's 3 feet in each meter. Ice loss in Greenland this century is virtually certain. And so, the report comes 3 months before a major climate conference convenes in Glasgow, Scotland. And now, a brief break. We'll be right back. The hottest summer of our lives. It's almost as if the entire East Coast has shifted south, according to an article in the New York Times. As the cascading effects of climate change become more apparent with every passing month, average summer high temperatures in cities from Portland, Maine, to Atlanta are climbing 3 to 4 degrees and are coming to resemble those of cities hundreds of miles to the south. Portland's July average temperature, 78 degrees in 1970, has risen to Boston's old average in the low 80s. While Boston's is now like New York City's, which has become like Philadelphia's a decade ago. While Philadelphia's average of nearly 90 is like Washington, D.C.'s old average. The nation's capital is now hotter than Atlanta. And both cities now have Tampa's old July average in the low 90s. The same phenomenon is occurring in the Mountain West. Cities like Billings, Montana, Denver, and Salt Lake City. In Montana and Idaho, daily highs topped 100 degrees this past week. This summer is on track to be the hottest on record, and the extreme heat is creating situations that are a mix of unnatural and horrific, with dozens of wildfires now exploding throughout the West. Climate change is already making our weather more uncomfortable and more dangerous, and our future is increasingly precarious. The Amazon rainforest in Brazil now emits more carbon dioxide than it absorbs. It has hit a carbon tipping point. Parts of the Amazon rainforest are now emitting more carbon dioxide than they absorb. That's a deeply worrying discovery. Because for generations, the Amazon has acted as a colossal carbon sink, soaking up some of the emissions that are powering climate change and storing them in its trees and soil. But this study found that the rainforest now pumps out more than 1.1 billion tons of carbon a year. That's about the same as Japan, the world's fifth biggest polluter. Most of the emissions come from forest fires, often set deliberately to clear land for beef and for soybean production. Fewer trees in turn mean less rain and higher temperatures, which makes the dry season worse and increases the risk of fires in the Amazon. We have a very negative loop, says the author of this study. And previous carbon studies on the Amazon were based on satellite data, which can be hampered by cloud cover. But now, this has been overcome by the researchers in Brazil by flying small planes low over the forest canopy and taking carbon dioxide and carbon monoxide measurements. The research has been exhaustive, involving some 600 flights over a period of 8 years. And the data showed that fires in the Amazon produced 1.7 billion tons of CO2 a year. That's triple the amount by forest growth. We need a global agreement to save the Amazon. And now some rethinking about asthma. When the coronavirus first appeared, many doctors worried that the pandemic would be especially perilous for people with asthma. But that feared surge in asthma attacks never occurred. In fact, research from England and Scotland and South Korea found big drops in hospital and doctor's visits for the chronic condition. And now a new U.S. study of over 1,200 asthma patients has found the number of attacks suffered by participants fell 40% after lockdowns kicked in. We know this isn't reluctance to go to the emergency room. This is a true, real decrease. Why this drop-off happened remains unclear, but it was larger among those who normally worked outside the home, 65%, than those who already worked at home, 23%. Doctors say that this suggests that allergens at home, such as pets and secondhand smoke, may play a much smaller part in asthma than thought. And that in turn could mean that triggers such as cold and flu viruses, which almost vanished during the pandemic because of masking, social distancing, and other measures, play a much bigger part in the condition. Good news on that front. And now, I think a very interesting article about dying of a broken heart. It's well established that people really can die from a broken heart. Now, researchers have identified two molecules that play a key role in the development of broken heart syndrome. This syndrome is called Takotsubo, as it is properly known, And it occurs when a physical or emotional shock, such as bereavement, causes a spike in adrenaline. This triggers a loss of movement in part of the heart wall, leading to acute heart failure. Mainly seen in older women, it affects at least 50,000 Americans each year. The two molecules, microRNAs, named -16 and -26A, had often been seen in the blood of Takotsubo patients, but it wasn't clear if they played a role in the condition. So to find out, researchers at the Imperial College in London exposed heart cells to the microRNAs, and they looked at how they affected the cell's sensitivity to adrenaline. The results showed the molecules made the cells more sensitive, meaning that they required less adrenaline to create Takotsubo-like changes. As these molecules are linked to depression, anxiety, and stress, the findings suggest that people who have experienced prior stress may be more susceptible to dying from a sudden shock. Further research is needed, though, to determine if drugs that block these microRNAs could be the key to avoiding broken hearts. And to continue with this for just a minute or two, this is a syndrome which is in my own family. As my wife had a Takotsubo attack some years ago, she was told that she would never have another one, and she did. And one of the features of the Takotsubo is that the heart wall of the, in her case, the left ventricle becomes swollen and pushes out, thereby drawing the blood vessels tighter and tighter. And so when an EEG is taken, it looks like a regular heart attack. However, what this article here does not say is that swelling goes back into the heart. Your heart shape then assumes its normal shape over time with rest. And my wife was not distressed or suffering from anxiety when it happened. And so this article is interesting, but it does not quite touch the entire subject. And I like to boast a bit that my wife is now in the medical literature of China because her cardiologist at the time was working with a Chinese heart specialist on a research article about the Takotsubo syndrome. And so her name is in the literature, but it's in Chinese, I think. And there we have it for the day. Just a few quick items to tell you about. Globally, COVID is still killing 200 healthcare workers a day. Tens of millions of roughly 135 million healthcare workers in the world have not yet received their first dose of COVID vaccine. And water theft is a growing problem in California amid this summer's extreme drought. Thieves are tapping into fire hydrants and rivers breaking into water stations and stealing water trucks from farmers and stealing ultimately billions of gallons of water, often used to water illegal marijuana crops. And so, with those last few items, I think I should begin to say goodbye to you. My friend Willie Nelson and I are going to be going down the road looking for some other items to fit in to a little of this, a little of that format. Please take care out there. Remember, we work hard for you. We want you to be entertained and we want you to be informed. You be careful. Practice your social distancing. Please get vaccinated. And that will help us all. And so, for this week, Dan Dillman saying goodbye, good luck, and dial in to 101.5 for a little of this and a little of that.